Sports Talk New York with your hosts Mark Rosenman and AJ Carter. Sports Talk New York is sponsored in part by Prince Associates, Send in the Clowns, the Phoenix Tube Company, CelebrityTrips.com, the law firm of Decalator Cohen and DePrisco, Solomon Jewelers, and Relish Restaurant of Kings Park. Here are your hosts, Mark and AJ.
Joining us now is a man who was drafted by the Baltimore Orioles in the 13th round of the 2009 Major League Draft. Prior to that, he was a standout at St. Mary's High School in Stockton, California, where he played both basketball and baseball. In baseball, he batted just under 400 as a senior and received all Tri-City Athletic League and all area honors. In basketball, he was named the All-TCAL Defensive Player of the Year. After playing for the Orioles, Blue Jays, Mariners, and Cardinals minor league affiliates, he signed a minor league contract with the New York Mets that included an invitation to spring training. 2017 with the AAA Las Vegas 51s of the PCL, he batted .328, and on May 23rd, 2016, in his eighth pro season, and get this, after 855 minor league games, 3,063 minor league at-bats, the New York Mets promoted him to replace an injured Lucas Duda. At the time, he was leading the minor leagues with a .391 batting average and a .478 on-base percentage. He was originally scheduled to play for Israel at the 2017 World Baseball Classic qualifier in September, but called up to the Mets at the time, so he couldn't play. He is, however, on the roster for the main tournament in Seoul, Korea in March, and he just got back from Israel this week. It is a pleasure to welcome number 56 in your Mets program, your boy TK11 on YouTube, Ty Kelly to WLIA Sports Talk New York. Welcome, Ty.
Wow, such a good bio.
Hey, Wikipedia is
Mark,
awesome.
Mark spends forever, everything on Wikipedia.
That's amazing. It was so thorough.
You haven't heard the worst yet. Wait till you see. Mark has probably done research. He'll tell, ask you, you know,
oh,
who
wait,
you
we're
faced
getting,
in
we're,
high school.
We're
we
getting
know,
there.
We
don't worry, Ty.
We know what Mark's going
we're getting
on.
There. Okay, so
just, I know. I hope all that stuff was true.
All right, so now we mentioned in the Open that playing at St. Mary's High School and playing for Team Israel in the Open, those two teams seem very, very different. How did you come to play for Team Israel?
Yeah, that pretty much describes my childhood, I guess. You know, I had one side of the family was Team Israel, I guess, and then the other side was the Catholic side. So I grew up with that. And then I actually didn't really find out how I came to play for or how I came to be recognized, I guess, that I had Jewish heritage up until like a week ago. When I was out there, I'm actually not even completely sure, but someone found out that I had Jewish heritage and then ended up informing the team, and then they contacted me and asked me, and I'm still not even totally sure how it all started.
Well, growing up, was your Jewish heritage part of your life, or did it just suddenly come about and we said, oh, hey, you can play for Team Israel, oh, wow, and you started learning about it then?
It was part of my life in the way that everything when you're a kid, you know, is just kind of told to you. So, I mean, everything that you know is foreign. I didn't understand that I was learning about two different religions when I was a kid. I just thought that that's what everyone did. So when half of my family was around, we'd be playing with dreidels and stuff and learning about Jewish stuff, and then when the other half of my family was around, we would be doing stuff, learning about Jesus or whatever, learning about Christian things. So that's what it was like growing up. But I never thought about it like up until recently, I guess, that you know both were a part of my life.
As a kid, you're probably just thinking November, December, great, 20 days where you get presents.
It's like, yeah, absolutely. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. You know, I was just celebrating more holidays right. than everyone else. So
obviously, you played the game to get a chance to play Major League Baseball. But how tough was it not being on the Israeli team during the qualifier, especially since it was maybe 15 to 20 minutes away from Citi Field right down the block in Coney Island?
I know. It would have been so amazing if I could have just done both somehow, but obviously I wasn't able to do that. But I obviously wanted to be in the big leagues at the time, but I wanted to play on the team at the same time. So I guess it's kind of all working out now, the fact that they qualified and now I'm still going to get to play. So you know, it's all worked itself out. I still wasn't even sure if I was going to get to play in March because spring training will be going on. I wasn't sure if I would be able to miss it and everything, but I got the go-ahead and everything from the Mets. So I'm really excited now that I will actually get to play in March.
We're talking with New York Mets' Ty Kelly. Based on your Twitter feed from the past week, it appears that you went on the trip to Israel with your mom. Had either of you been to Israel before, and what was the experience like for both of you?
No, neither of us had been, and it was unbelievable. I mean, we packed in absolutely everything that we could in the week that we were there. I feel like we saw everything that there was to see, and, you know, somehow I could go back and spend, you know, another month there and just, like, learn so much more than we learned while we were there. But it was unbelievable seeing all this stuff. There's so much history. I mean, just even from just the last 70 years with everything that's happened in Israel, there's so much there.
You know, I read some stories about the trip. It's basically, for our listeners, a birthright trip for the Israeli national baseball team, you know, for the tournament, where baseball classic. Taking a look at the experience you shared now with your mother hadn't been there, you also shared it with a lot of players. There's some comments from Ike Davis about it, too. What was it like being there with essentially a whole group of people like you who had a Jewish heritage but really had not had any involvement or engagement in things Jewish?
Yeah, it was really interesting. You know, just the fact that we're going to be representing Israel, and just about all of us had never been there before. So it's a weird thing. I mean, obviously it's the rules and the way that things are set up, but it was really interesting. I mean, just meeting all the people, there's tons of Americans there in the first place in Israel, tons of Mets fans. So Ike Davis is, no pun intended, but he's like a god there. It's just really interesting. Everyone was really appreciative. They said thank you for representing us, and everyone was just like so welcoming to us and saying, you know, thanks for representing us, which really is what it is. And it's just like, it is interesting though that, you know, a lot of us have never even been there before.
You know, over the years, AJ and I have had the opportunity to talk to many major leaguers who are just grateful for the chance to play in major leagues and have the careers they had. You know, when you're playing in the minor league baseball in some of the cities like Aberdeen, Tacoma, Bowie, Norfolk, Buffalo, Vegas, could you ever in your wildest dreams imagine that the game of baseball would take you to Israel and then to Seoul, Korea?
No, not at all. I mean, it's funny because I always remember watching the World Baseball Classic and thinking, oh, you know, if only Ireland had a team or something like that. I didn't know what teams I could play for. Obviously, I had never thought that I could play for Israel. So I was thinking, it would be so funny if we got all the Irish players together or whatever, and or whatever other nationalities I have in my background. And then it just, you know, it just comes up in the middle of the season that I could possibly play for Team Israel. And then now it's a thing that's happening. And now that I've been to Israel and then going to Korea, and we're going to, you know, have a legitimate chance of moving on from Korea. So it's been pretty crazy and something that I definitely never imagined.
Now, when I met you at Citi Field and, you appeared to me to be like every other rookie who comes up, kind of quiet, reserved, just taking it all in. I actually had the opportunity to interview you your first home game at Citi Field. And, you know, afterwards, I watched some of your videos on YouTube and some of the stuff you did with fellow minor leaguer Matt Paré. You're a very good musician, and you're very, very funny. So how and when did you and Matt start doing those videos together?
I met Matt last year through my other roommate who plays minor league baseball, also in one of those videos. I don't know, I guess it's funny because we're such good friends now. He's actually living here with me now also in San Diego for the off season. We just shot a bunch of film, a bunch of stuff for a new video yesterday. We've got new videos planned also with Steve Hofstetter, who I'm sure you guys know, a big Mets fan. We're playing on some stuff with him. So it all started last year, and then it's kind of, you know, it was sort of natural, I guess, that we both had really similar interests, and he had these great ideas about doing baseball-related videos, a lot of minor league stuff, and then just there's more just baseball stuff that we're doing that's going to be really funny. So it's been really fun, and it doesn't seem like we've only known each other for a year with how much stuff we've already done, I guess, in this last year.
Well, you look at the homeless minor leaguer series, basically, and then the commercial to help.
The commercial for the dating site. Great stuff. So here's the interesting question. On Team Israel, who's funnier, you or Cody Davis?
Cody Decker. I don't want to try to take it away from Cody. I feel like he wants it more than I do. So, you know, I'm perfectly fine with being the guy in the background that throws in some sarcastic comments every now and then. So I'm okay with my role for now. And, you know, I think we'll have a good dynamic on the team when we head to Korea.
We're talking to New York Mets and Team Israel's Ty Kelly. From your videos, I take it that you're not a big fan of Creed or Nickelback, but yet you do a great impression of Arms Wide Open. So, yeah, we do our research, and we're going to ask you to give us a little bit of Arms Wide Open.
Oh, man, I wish I knew more of the lyrics, but I mean, I guess it doesn't really matter. With the arms wide open.
Dead on, man.
I mean, there's so many different voices, but it's not even just them. It's the Creed, the Nickelback. It's even like Pearl Jam, too, which, you know, I know that a lot of people feel way more strongly for Pearl Jam, but, you know, you gotta call them out.
So we know who you don't like. Who do you like musically?
I like so many different types of music. I always try to answer that in like by my favorites by like genre, I guess. So I'm a really big Sublime fan. So I don't know how much that translates out to New York, but they were like a California kind of reggae, ska, and punk band. And then my favorite like classic rock band is The Doors. I love Jim Morrison.
Nice.
And rap-wise, I got to give it up to Tupac from the West Coast.
Okay.
So, yeah. But props to Biggie also for the New York people. So, it's just like so many different genres and everything. It's hard to always give a good answer to that question.
Very diverse. Good stuff. All good stuff. Let's talk a little bit about the road to the majors, which included 8 seasons. Through your minor league career, you played every single position but catcher. You played over 200 in the outfield, over 200 at second base, over 300 at third base. What position do you think you should be? If you had to print up a baseball card tomorrow of Ty Kelly, what position would be on it?
Oh, man. Well, if I had to print up a baseball card, they would all be on it. But I think that people ask me what I think I'm best at, and I think that my best answer is that I think I'm best at second base because that's the easiest to play. But I think that I provide the best value at third base because I think that third is harder, so it takes a better player to play there. And I think that that's where I separate myself at third more than at second, just because second is easier, if that makes any sense.
No, absolutely. Now, you know, I know last season Steve Gelbs did a feature on players and their gloves. I was there the day he was actually speaking to Curtis Grandison about how he breaks in his glove. Given that you play so many different positions, how many gloves do you own, and how do you break each of them in time for spring training?
Let's see. I actually have a catcher's glove. I traded with Matt. So but of gloves that I really use, I have first base, infield, practice infield, and outfield. So I have 4 or 5 gloves that I have with me at all times. And I really just try to break them in just through using it. I don't do anything special with them. Just because I like them, I guess a little bit stiffer, just so that it's not kind of flopping around when you're playing. I don't like going for a backhand or something to have a ball flip off the side of it because it's too loose. So I've just started to like a little stiffer actually more recently, and that seems to be working for me. So it's actually really a lot easier to break them in because I don't want it really, you know, really loose anyways.
If you just tuned in, we're talking to New York Mets' Ty Kelly. You've been part of five organizations. Each of them run their developmental system differently. So much has been made over the years of the Cardinal way. Did you find any differences in the minor league organizations from one to the other when you were playing?
Yes. The Cardinals are definitely different from the rest. It's not necessarily just the minor league system. I mean, I was only in AAA for half the year. But you notice the difference at the big league level. Just the guys, even just in spring training, I mean, it's just a whole different approach to everything. It's not the kind of move around slow spring training, getting your legs back. It's like they're running it kind of like a college-like like workout or something. You're in different groups, and your groups are rotating throughout spring training so that you're in a group with everyone on the team at some point, and you're in a group with the veterans and then with the young guys. So you get to know everybody. And it's just a different experience. And everybody has to buy into it, which is, I mean, it's obviously why they've had so much success, is that everyone is totally bought into it from the top to the bottom. And I really enjoyed that. That was a really cool thing to see, because you really don't get to experience anything like that at any of the other organizations. Not that there's anything wrong with the other ones. It's just a different kind of experience.
What manager or coach had the greatest impact on you while you were in the minors?
I think probably Ryan Minor. I had him for 2 years in low A, and he was always really in my corner. I was in low A in 2010, and I had a pretty good year, and then I ended up getting sent back there in 2011, and I was a backup because we had an infield of all prospects. We had Jonathan Scope, who was playing third, Manny Machado at short, right. And then Michael Givens at second, who ended up converting to a pitcher. But we had all these guys in the infield, so there was nowhere for me to play, but it was the first time that Ryan, you know, he put me out in the outfield and gave me chances when other guys needed a day off. So he kind of kept me into everything because he felt like I should get the chance to play. So, I mean, without him, I mean, if it was a different manager, someone not in my corner, I don't know if, I mean, that could easily have been my last year in baseball if someone didn't think that I deserved a chance to get all the opportunities that he gave me.
So how tough was it after you played several years with different organizations and finally, I guess it's Toronto, outright you to the Bisons and you elect for free agency and you look around, you eventually sign with the Mets. What happened that period? What went through your mind before you actually ended up hooking on with the Mets?
Well, I mean, every baseball player is really confident in themselves. So, I mean, I was still confident, but at the same time, I'm definitely a realist. And I know that I don't feel like I deserve certain things. You know what I mean? Like I've played really hard. I've done a lot of good things, but saying that you deserve certain opportunities isn't really fair, because there's tons of guys out there that have played really hard and tried to get chances to keep playing. So I know that nothing is guaranteed, I guess, is probably the best way to say it. So I was coming into the season thinking that if I play well, you know, I'll hopefully be able to just keep playing. And then it happened that I played really well. And then, you know, kind of one of those, the rest is history moments. Just coming into the season, I mean, I was hopeful, but definitely my expectations were not, they were overachieved, I guess.
It's very interesting that you mentioned that, because you take a look at just some of those guys on Team Israel, like Cody Decker, who has been a phenomenal minor league player and has had difficulty hooking on. He just did sign with the Brewers as a catcher. He's converted, and we talked about that when he was on team. And you look at Ike Davis, who's having difficulty getting back to the majors.
Right.
So it is so difficult to make the major leagues. We're talking to Ty Kelly here on WLIE Sports Talk New York. You know, you played 81 games for Wally Backman. He came out this week, made some news with claims that Sandy Alderson is blackballing him from getting a job in the majors. Having playing for Wally, do you think he could be a successful manager in the majors, and why?
Yeah, I mean, I think that all of the players love Wally. Now, I mean, there's a lot more to it than just that, obviously, or Wally would be in the big leagues, I guess, or he would, you know, he would still be coaching somewhere. But, you know, Wally really wants to do what he wants to do, and almost to a, well, I guess to a fault, because it's cost him different jobs or whatever. I don't know all of the circumstances, but all the players really like Wally, and I think that all of the players that have played under him believe that he can manage in the big leagues. It's just there are a ton of other things, and he obviously he's not the absolute boss once he's the big league manager, so he still has to listen to, you know, the GM and the other people that are involved in decision making. So I mean that's something that Wally would have to decide to do on his own, obviously.
Right. 39 games in the majors during the push to the wild card, a postseason at bat. What, if anything, did you learn from being part of it, watching veterans like Curtis Granderson, Jose Reyes, Estrubel Cabrera, James Loney, and Yoenis Cespedes prepare themselves for those critical games?
Now, wait a second. Yeah. Use the word Yoenis Cespedes prepare himself? You didn't play golf, did you?
Excuse me. He gets a bad rap. I'm telling you, Yoenis Cespedes is an absolute beast. I watch him during BP. There is not a position that guy cannot play. So, you know, lighten up. I mean, so he plays golf. All right, Ty, forget about what AJ just said, all right?
Everybody is different. I've definitely learned that. Everybody has their own way to prepare. I actually changed a lot in my preparation this year. I tried to sort of, you know, maybe Yo has golf that takes his mind off of baseball. I tried to go to the cage as little as possible as I could before games, just because you're doing so much baseball throughout the year that your biggest competition can be you at some time. You know, it's just really hard to be locked in throughout the entire season without taking any mental breaks. So I think for me, it was really big to just kind of to be just taking BP, and that was my only hitting preparation before games, not getting in the cage and taking hundreds of swings off the tee and overanalyzing and overthinking everything. So that was the biggest change that I made this year, was just trying to be athletic and just go out and say, I'm going to be confident. I'll make whatever adjustments I need to when I get up there. Even coming off the bench when I was in New York, it was one thing that I tried to focus on, was just, you know, I wanted my pre pinch hit preparation to be strictly physical, and just kind of like warm ups and stuff, just jumping jacks and running around, not necessarily hitting off the tee and then hitting off the machine and doing all this stuff in the tunnel. Because I think guys can just way overanalyze everything and just overdo their preparation to the point where they're hitting in the cage for an hour and then they have a pinch hit at bat where they see one pitch and ground out and they think, oh my gosh, like maybe I should have done more stuff. And I think it's just, you've got to think kind of the opposite when it comes to that.
I have to imagine that last year was, everything about it was very thrilling for you. First major league home run. What is the one thing you take away most from this past year?
I think probably my proudest moments. I think the most fun game that I played in was in San Francisco, because I grew up in Northern California. I had tons of family there and tons of friends, and I had a really good game. I got to play left in front of the bleachers, where I've sat and watched a bunch of games, and all my friends are out there drinking beers and cheering and heckling and stuff. And it was like, it was an absolutely unbelievable experience being there and succeeding, also getting a couple of hits and getting an outfield assist. And then the next biggest thing was the wild card game, getting a pinch hit and getting a hit when we only get four for the game and getting into scoring position. And and it was just, it was the perfect way to end the year personally. Obviously not team-wise because we lost, but for me, I got to end it on a pinch hit postseason hit, which is unbelievable, and against the Giants again. So all my friends are watching again.
So looking ahead, looking at this spring, and you're going to play in the World Baseball Classic, how much do you think that will affect and maybe hurt your chances to make the Met team this year?
Well, I think it's getting game at bats. So I don't know. I mean, and then people are going to still be able to watch and evaluate. And the Mets, I think, have seen me enough that they have an idea of what I bring to the table. So, I mean, I really don't know. I guess it depends how long we're out there. And, I mean, hopefully I do really well, and it just helps my chances. And the fact that I'm getting game reps and I'm getting to play in full games and not just, you know, half a game, getting one at bat or whatever, like spring training. You know, I hope that all those things help out in my favor.
A couple of guys are in the chat room with the Facebook Live that goes out during the show. David wanted to know if you plan on keeping number 56 and will you be wearing number 56 on the Israeli national team? That's one of the questions.
I don't know. I mean, I'm going to wait and see if they ask me if I want to change numbers, I guess, because they just, I mean, when you're a rookie, they pretty much just give you a number.
And it's always a high one, too.
Yeah, and it was 55, which I liked, and then, of course, Kelly came back and took it. Right. So they gave me a different one, which was very close to it. So I don't know. I mean, it's not a huge deal to me. If they give me 56 again, then at least I'll be able to just keep signing balls and stuff the same way. So I'll just see what happens there. And then for Team Israel, I think I'm going to be 11, but I don't know exactly. But some of the stuff that I've seen that they've put out, I was number 11. So good. I think good. I might be good. 11 there.
Good number here in New York. Mark Messier, obviously, if you're a
gotta
hockey
bring,
fan.
Got to bring hockey
in. Of course
I
got to bring
you
hockey.
You always have to bring hockey in.
Of course I do.
Which ones are bringing in 43-man Squamish?
That's what you bring up. But all right. So have you set any individual goals for yourself this season?
I don't know. My goals are broad, I guess. I just want to play well. I don't like looking at like stats and stuff like that. I tried to stop, I don't know, maybe like 5 years ago, I tried to just stop looking at stats because they can be really misleading and, they can take you away from what your focus should be, and which is just feeling good and playing well. So I just wanted to play up to my capabilities, and I know that if I do that, then numbers will follow and promotions and everything will follow. So, I just want to play well, play consistent, you know, do a lot of the things I did last year. And I mean, I have another year of experience, so there's no reason that I shouldn't get better. I think that's something that a lot of people assume, that someone's going to play the exact same way every single year. But, I mean, I look at it as you get another year of experience, you should be getting better. So, I mean, there's no reason that I shouldn't put up better numbers next year, I guess.
For those of our viewers and listeners who might not have seen your music videos and your videos with Matt, where can they check them out?
They should definitely check out Matt's videos before they check out my music videos. Matt Pare, P-A-R-E. Just search that, and then his videos come up. We've got more videos coming in some different stuff. My videos are from a couple years ago, so just bear that in mind. Hopefully I'm also better musically now than I was then. But it's, yeah, you're a boy, TK11, you are boy.
Yeah, don't sell your music short. In my opinion, very, very good guitar player. And here in New York, guys who play guitar and sing have had a pretty good career musically. Doug Flynn was before your time, but Doug Flynn actually played the circuit here in New York during the offseason. And, of course, Bernie Williams actually has gotten to play with Bruce Springsteen, so it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah, that would be nice. I'll play with him.
and if you do, I will definitely be there because I have not missed a Springsteen performance locally in about 30 years. But, Ty, thanks so much for your time tonight. We hope you achieve all your goals for this coming season. We look forward to following you in Korea and then here with the Mets in 2017.
Awesome. Thank you guys very much.
Yeah, you got it. I'll see you out at Citi Field, Ty.
All right. See you guys.
You got it. Ty Kelly, New York Mets and Team Israel.